Welcome to The Pen and the Yad. Rabbi Michael Siegel of Anshe Emet Synagogue in Chicago talks with author Jonathan Eig about this week's Torah portion of Tzav, The Dignity of Labor, Torah Style.
Is there any job that is beneath you?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. You know, I'm stumped. We've all had to do so many humbling things, right? Whether it's changing diapers or, you know, working some menial task. I've been pretty lucky. I never had to do manual labor. I never had to do anything that really wore me out. I've been pretty pampered. But delivering newspapers was probably about as hard as it ever got for me. And that's a sign of just how spoiled I've been.
I think that any dog owner knows that there is no job that's beneath you, right? It's kind of a humbling experience. But it's an interesting question. Is anything beneath you? But by the same token, can we elevate any action to be more meaningful in the manner in which we perform that action? What can that say about you, and what does it say about you, right? The manner in which you perform the action. And the reason I'm even raising any of these issues is that there's a strange thing in our portion this week, a strange note that struck, that in the sacrificial order in the book of Tzav, we're in the book of Leviticus, and so we're the portion of Tzav, it's a portion all about the intricacies of the sacrifice. But the one sacrifice, the olah, is a burnt offering. It all sort of goes up, so to speak. And so the Torah goes into very great detail about how the priest needed to change his clothing and wear special clothing to take the ashes from the altar and remove them from the camp, which is a very nice way of saying he's taking the garbage out. But even this act is raised up and made meaningful. And I think that's a powerful idea, because I wonder how much we acknowledge the dignity of work in our society and labor.
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's a timely one too, because, you know, throughout COVID, we've been made to appreciate some of the workers who we have often taken for granted. You know, people who do these seemingly mundane jobs of stocking shelves and delivering groceries, jobs that still do not pay well, often jobs that are, at minimum wage, which we are arguing about whether that should be $15 an hour or not nationwide. And we're reminded of how much we rely on these people and on these jobs that most of us would be bummed about having to take, right? So I think there's a really good lesson there. You know, where is the dignity? Where is the appreciation for the jobs that we tend to ignore, if not disdain?
I have to say that, and maybe you share this, that during this COVID-19, I think you're 100% right, we have developed a greater sense of first-line workers. But I've also really been impressed by the way people do their jobs. Grocery people, people behind that, you know, glass screen now, the manner in which they greet people, the manner in which they do their jobs says a lot to me about them. I've become much more thoughtful about this, and that doesn't say a lot about me because it obviously been passing me by. At this point in time, I'm very aware of the importance of everyone's job and how we do those jobs in our society today, especially in a time when the whole premise of work is changing and the kinds of jobs we're going to be doing and where those jobs are lying is really under discussion today at this very difficult period. But work continues to play this very powerful role in our thinking and how we do it. What does it say about the work itself? What does it say about us? I think it remains today very important questions.
Yeah, and it's a really good reminder of how reliant we are on one another and how easily the system breaks down if one person who we didn't even know about fails to do their job. It really just, I think, helps to remind us that we are part of a network and that we can't get along without each other, and that we should keep those people in mind and to remember that they're people and not just parts in a machine.
Which is easy to do in a faceless society. not only behind masks, but in a more and more technologically advanced society where people may not be coming into contact with each other in the same sorts of ways in developing relationships. I think that's especially true. You know, in Hebrew, the word for work is avodah, and the word for worship can also be avodah. So I love the idea that in the Jewish way of approaching this issue, the work and the manner in which you perform your duties can be an act of worship. It could be raising something to a higher level. It could be actualizing yourself in a way that not only speaks volumes about you, but benefits the world in a larger way. And I come back to this kind of crazy example of taking the ashes out of the camp. But I do think that is the great definition of avodah, that even in the taking out of the ashes, there can be meaning in that work, and it can elevate the person and the action in ways that we hadn't considered earlier.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And I wonder, you know, in your job, obviously you and I are both lucky in that we get to do work that we love and that we care about, that we're passionate about. But is there some part of your job that is like so mundane, so boring that you wish you could get out of it?
No, but what I would say is this, and I do feel very fortunate, that I've had the great fortune of developing different areas of my rabbinate so I can get involved in different areas and continue to learn new things and develop new approaches. But there are some things that, you know, we would do over and over and over again. Shabbat services are always going to look like Shabbat services. I remind myself, I don't think I've ever actually ever shared this, at least publicly, but I constantly remind myself of how fortunate I am to have this opportunity to share an idea with a congregation or to hopefully elevate a service or make a moment more meaningful. This year has been really challenging because our services are all streamed. So basically, there are just a few people in the sanctuary and I'm like staring at a camera. But I'm imagining, whether it's true or not, that on the other side somewhere, people are watching and that there's a moment when you can say something about a service or elevate an idea that's going to resonate with people, that when you give a eulogy, that you have a sacred trust with people. You've been entrusted with shaping the memory of an entire person's life. It's not the only one, and there are all kinds of ways of remembering people, but I elevate that idea and always try to keep that in mind under the chuppah at a wedding, that all of these ideas, that these are privileges that we have, and how can I make this the most special experience that I possibly can for those people? And part of that also means that I have to kind of continue to work on my craft. You know, I worked with Cantor Mizrahi, that was my great privilege, now he's emeritus, but I watched him over the period of more than 30 years. And here's a person who was at the top of his craft, if you so to speak, and it was great cantor. And, you know, he took voice lessons every week. You think to yourself,
that's amazing.
He had a voice teacher, and I would hear him in his office singing. And certain times of the week, that was when he had his lessons. He was constantly working on that. And I think that was part of his greatness, that it would never got old to him. It never got stale. It always felt like there was something really powerful going on. And that kind of energy, that sense of privilege, that sense that I can raise something up to a higher level, I think is very much part of this whole idea of avodah, both as work and as worship. And I imagine that in your job, you know, as a writer, I mean, you've written, you know, there's a certain methodology to writing books, but I have to believe that there's a whole adventure to it as well.
Oh, it's a great challenge for me. And, you know, I can relate to some of what you said in that, you know, I feel like I have this responsibility to honor this story and to do the best I can at it and not to let down the subject who's never going to read this book, but whose life I'm holding in my hands, and also to honor my reader, to know that I gave them the best story and the best analysis of these facts that I possibly could, that I'm honoring their intelligence by bringing everything I can to the work. But I love what you were saying about Cantor Mizrahi and about how he continued to practice. And it reminded me that maybe 25, 30 years ago, I got the chance to interview Dizzy Gillespie, who was one of my absolute heroes. And he mentioned something about practicing. And I said, wait a second, you're Dizzy Gillespie. You invented bebop with Charlie Parker. You are perhaps the greatest living jazz musician. Are you telling me you still practice? And he said, I practice every day, man. And I said, why? You're Dizzy Gillespie. And he said, it's not what you know, it's what you do. Wow. And I wrote that out and glued it to the wall in my office. It's not what you know, it's what you do. And those to me are just fabulous words to live by, that you have to keep bringing your best. You have to keep working at it. The work never stops.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. Well, Jonathan, thank you. And I'm looking forward to the fruits of your labors when your new book on Martin Luther King Jr. comes out.
Well, thanks.
That must be quite a moment when the book is finished and you actually see it and can hold it in your hands, huh?
It's the sweetest thing. When that box comes, you know, I don't even make it in the door. I open it, and it's only happened 5 times. But when that box of books comes and you see that this is actual real, that it's something tangible, that you made this thing and that it's done, and it's maybe flawed and you're still going to try to do better the next time, but it's done. It's a beautiful feeling, and I don't even get in the door. I open it down at the mailbox.
Well, I think that's the definition of the fruits of your labor. Yeah. Thanks so much today.
Thanks, Rabbi.